Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle.
Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing. Online marketing. Social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business? Hey, everybody. I am uber excited. I've got a great guest. This guy is an artist. He's a coach, a mentor, and he's got some great stuff to tell us. His name is Eric Stafford. Now, do not confuse him with Jim Stafford, who's afraid of spiders and snakes. But Eric, are you afraid of spiders and snakes?
Yeah, absolutely. We see a spider around here, it's time to burn the house down and move.
Gotcha. Yeah, because in South Florida, they get pretty damn big, and those palmetto bugs are, you know, they'll carry you out of bed and take you away. I mean, it's scary.
I appreciate you reminding me, Brian.
You're welcome. So how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Dude, it's a pleasure. So what I like to start off with is to get people to know you. So I'd like to hear your origin story. Where did you start? How did you get into the creative market? And then how did you end up where you're at now?
You know, that's a good question. I guess I never really thought much about that. But I definitely, you know, as a young age, I really wanted to be, as a youngster, I really wanted to be a Disney animator. And sort of carried that through with me for a long time. I was always very artistic. I actually went to college for fine art. I majored in fine art and was always sort of hustling my way along. You know, in high school, I sold airbrushed jean jackets to gang members. You know, I was always in college setting up art shows, selling my artwork, trying to figure out ways to make a buck. And I think that sort of combined with the horrible retail experiences that we've all had, the retail jobs that we've all worked, I just sort of learned a lot about chatting with people and about networking and about communicating and about how to sell myself. And so it kind of went from there.
Gotcha. So one of the things that we talked about in our chat before the show was, you know, the ability to pivot. In other words, to reinvent yourself. And it sounds like you've had to do that. And you work with clients on those mindsets and things. Let's talk a little bit about that. How is it that people kind of know it's time to make a change in their business? And what are some of the signs that most people miss that they're not thinking about?
Man, you're digging right in. Those are really good questions. Yeah. So, I mean, speaking personally for me, I've had to pivot three times now in my quote unquote business career. And each time I do it, it happens quicker and becomes less painful. The first time that I had to do it, it was really a pretty painful experience. And, you know, I was working in a business I had created, sort of an online business where I was selling digital training. I actually had several products built around a brand called the Faster Webmaster. This was back in 2006, 2007. And that business was built primarily on joint ventures. I had a lot of really good affiliates. I had built a sizable email list, and I was promoting other people's products through affiliate marketing. I didn't want to admit to myself what was painfully clear, which was, you know, that profits were steadily going down and down and down, and I was steadily becoming more and more frustrated and less happy with that business. And so I guess those would be some of the signs, right? Is, you know, if you just are not feeling as inspired as you once were, and if you're just not really very happy with what you're doing, you know, what I've found is that, you know, I just sort of had that wake up moment one day when I realized, you know, why am I settling for this? If I'm willing to settle, why don't I just go get a job, right? I mean, the hours are better. The boss is less of a jerk, hopefully. And I'll have, you know, better insurance, right? And so I just sort of had this moment, Brian, where I realized, like, well, okay, look, Eric, clearly the job thing is not meant for you. You haven't had a real quote-unquote job in a number of years now, but you have to do something, right? You have to do something because I was really pretty unhappy.
Yeah, J-O-B in the entrepreneurial space is a four-letter word because we've all done it. I've done it. I mean, I worked for AT&T for years. I worked for Arthur Anderson, which was a big mistake. I left a creative job to go work there. And that was probably one of the most painful experiences of my life, and that was, you know, that was one of my pivots. Is I got out of that job. I went to work for an ad agency because I felt like I had to have a job and have insurance. And, you know, every time I went to work for somebody else, when I was young at AT&T, was a blast. I learned a lot. The other ones were just like painful. And so that's when I said, you know, I need to control my own destiny. And one of the other things that you said that I think is uber important is, you know, when you start making less money, and I think a lot of people don't pay enough attention to the finances. Like, for example, I am a QuickBooks junkie. I have always been a QuickBooks junkie. I mean, I drive my accountant crazy because I have so many categories of income. Because I want to track everything. How many books am I selling? How many classes am I selling? How many, you know, hours am I working on this type of project or that type of project? Right. You know, just so we can kind of get a trend going. And so, you know, talk a little bit about that. What are some of the things that, you know, as people need to pay attention to think about, okay, what am I looking at to know that it's time to start making some change? And how did you, you know, the second and third time make it a little less painful?
Yeah, so I, you know, it's really interesting, right? I think the biggest stumbling block for me when I sort of looked at that situation and tried to address it was that I was very much in like this sort of wake up and start juggling plates or putting out fires sort of mode, right? So I would wake up in the morning, I'd immediately check my email, I'd look at my to-do list, and it was always way too long, and I would just sort of run from, you know, emergency to emergency all day, just sort of, you know, putting out fires and knocking things off my to-do list. And I wasn't really giving myself a whole lot of space to sort of sit and reflect and really look at where I was and also really sort of examine that unhappiness, right? And what I found is that it really is sort of a secret sadness, right? Because, you know, I don't know about you, but I know that, you know, my social media feeds are filled with stories of abundance and photos of really nice restaurants and people working remotely from places like Singapore and it's lovely, right? And you know, I'm not trying to discount or discredit people who are law of attraction and sort of mindset and abundance people, but I at that time, Brian, I wasn't feeling very abundant. I was really frustrated. I wasn't sleeping well at night. I was drinking way too much. I was eating out a lot and making poor, you know, nutrition decisions. And, you know, I've talked with a lot of entrepreneurs now and worked with a lot of entrepreneurs now where that sadness manifested itself in other much more dramatic and harmful ways, right? Like heart attacks and divorces due to cheating on spouses and drug abuse and stuff like that. And so it's real tough. It was real tough for me to sort of look at that from a framework of how do I create a plan to get out of this? Because it very much felt like admitting defeat. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Yeah. I mean, it, you know, it is, it almost, you feel like a failure and that's, you know, and you don't want to fail. And yes, I've seen the same things.
That's a good way to put it, man. I definitely felt like a failure and I didn't really have anyone that I felt that I could really talk with about it. Right. You know, my wife just wants to know that the bills are going to get paid every month and that she can be mom, right?
Right.
And so she doesn't want to hear about, you know, how I'm worried about business or how, you know, the income's dropping or whatever. And I didn't really feel like I could talk with really very many of my friends, if any of my friends or any of my joint venture partners about it, because I didn't want to appear weak or sort of ungrateful, right? And so I just sort of suffered until it all came to a head. And you know, I'm sorry for the long-winded answer, but to go back to your original question, the first time I made that pivot, I simply blew everything up and walked away. And I like to think that I look like Bruce Willis in the movie, right? Walking in slow motion with the sunglasses on and everything exploding behind me. But the truth of it is that I was just shattered. I was really frustrated. I'd been working, you know, 16-hour days for I don't know, a year, 2 years, trying to right the ship and fix my business. And I just had a complete breakdown. I deleted all of our email lists. I shut down our monthly membership website, and I pretty much just cried for quite a while.
So what did you do next, and what were the second and third pivots like?
Sure. Yeah. So I mean, you know, I've been through several now. Like I had said, you know, the first real pivot happened for me right around 2010, 2011. A lot of my joint venture partners started putting out offers that were really pretty biz-oppy and really sort of pie in the sky, gold bricks falling from the sky sort of stuff that I wasn't very comfortable promoting. And so they stopped promoting me. My traffic decreased. The housing collapse happened, right? The housing crisis. And suddenly I was just, all of my customers were really frustrated and really desperate. And it just didn't feel like a whole lot of fun, right? And so what I did is I just imploded that business and walked away and went back to what I knew from prior to that, which was the ad agency world. So I went back to pushing pixels, servicing clients, writing sales copy, writing autoresponder email sequences, designing websites and sales pages, right? I went back to basically being a graphic designer, a creative director.
Mm-hmm.
The second time I pivoted, it was a lot less painful because, you know, I'd learned a couple of things along the way. And one of the things I had learned along the way was that pivoting does not make you a failure. Right. I had a very smart man named Marty Neumeier, who's actually author of several of my favorite books. He told me that his first business was actually designing software boxes. I know that you know, you've been around just as long as I have, Brian, and so you remember that people used to actually go into computer stores before Amazon and used to buy software in these big, beautiful boxes, and you would open it up and there was nothing in it but air and a CD.
Right.
Right. And his first business was designing software boxes. He got really good at it. It was a very successful business. They were designing software for Microsoft and Adobe and, you know, Symantec and all these antivirus companies. But that business vanished because, you know, people simply stopped needing software boxes just the same way people stopped needing Blockbuster video stores, right? And he kind of told me, you know, Eric, you will pivot. And this will happen to you again. This will happen to you several times if you're a true entrepreneur. And so just to be able to sort of approach it from that framework, Brian, and realize that it doesn't make me a failure, and it's just inevitable that your business will change, or your customers will change, or the market will change, but things will definitely change, and you have to be ready to make a move when that happens, and hopefully a little bit before that happens.
Right. See, and the one thing that you just talked about, which I think is uber important, that you probably couldn't do when your business was imploding, was get a coach or a mentor. One of my favorite sayings is every doctor needs a doctor, every mentor needs a mentor, and every coach needs a coach. And it sounds like Marty gave you know, some advice. He was coaching you. He was mentoring you. And I've been a huge proponent over the last, since I wrote my first book in 2012, 2013, of getting coaches to help guide me through the process, keep me on track, and also to see the forest for the trees. You know, it's like they're going to see things that I can't see in my business that are, you got to stop doing this, you know, the selling hours for dollars, and pivot more into value added stuff where you're working less and making more. And that to me is so incredibly important, is to try to have somebody get the advice of somebody that can see from a different perspective what's going on. Because, man, you talked about the people working from Singapore and all those other things. And let's face it, it's an alternative world. And we create that alternative world in our own mind sometimes, right?
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree with you more, man. I would go one step further and say not only to invest in, you know, coaching or mentoring, but also get yourself involved in a mastermind group with people that really will hold you accountable and people that you can trust, so that you can talk about some of this sort of stuff if you're feeling very sad and very alone in your business.
Yeah, no, I thoroughly agree. As a matter of fact, I run one mastermind and belong to two. So, yeah, I hear you. It's very important. So, Eric, you've got something that's going to help my audience get a little bit, get their arms around this a little bit better. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So, I mean, in terms of a piece of advice, if you're listening to this episode of the Bacon Podcast and this is resonating with you, there's a couple things that I would tell you. The first thing I would tell you is don't despair. There is a bright future on the other side, and you will get through this. And the fact that you're facing a pivot does not mean that you're a failure. And I would also let you know that, you know, your best option at this point is to really create some space for yourself so that you can sit and really think about what you want to do. Generally, you have three options, right? And I just sort of touched on them a minute ago when Brian and I were talking about some of our success stories, right? Your three options essentially are to either sell your business, right? Start to create an exit strategy and actually just move on to whatever is next for you. Your second option is to sort of repivot or reposition your business and turn it back into something that makes you happy, right? And the third option is to, as Brian had said, start to create some systems, look into outsourcing, hiring, automating, partnering with other people that can allow you to remove some of the more painful and less enjoyable things that you're currently doing from your plate, right? Mm-hmm. And as my grandma used to say, there is no right answer. There's only the answer that's right for you. And I've definitely found that to be the case in my life. So we do have actually a 19-point business growth and staging checklist that we always run through with our clients, whether they're looking to sell their business or just sort of position it for growth. And I'm more than happy to share that, Brian, with you and your audience.
Outstanding. I will make sure that I put a link to that in the show notes. So go to baconpodcast.com, search for Eric Stafford, look for his show, and you'll have a link to that sitting in there. So Eric, man, this has been outstanding. I really appreciate you opening up and being, you know, completely transparent about your feelings and your business. And I think people are going to get a lot out of this, especially people that are struggling. So if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that?
You can check out staffordmarketing.com, S-T-A-F-F-O-R-D, marketing.com. And I also have a blog at ericstafford.com.
Awesome, man. Well, it's been a pleasure to get to know you better. Loved having you on the show, man. I really appreciate your time and your insights, and I'm sure my audience will too.
Yeah, thank you so much. It really is a pleasure to join you, and a huge fan of the show, and we'll speak soon.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.